Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He is Landon Tengwall. Landon, how are you doing, my friend?
Doing well, Jim. Trying to stay warm up here in State College. We're in the single digits. We had a couple of snowstorms this week. But if you were a student here, it was a good week. You had MLK Day on Monday, snowstorm on Tuesday, no school, and then again on Friday, no school. So, you know, it was an easy week for us Penn State students up here.
Not only that, but you got out and got a chance to enjoy the snow, didn't you?
I did. We went sledding over, if anybody knows, over on the baseball hill near the stadium, and it was crowded, but it was a lot of fun. And we bought a couple of those blow up tubes from Five and Below, and those things were flying. You put about 300 pounds on there, and it's fun. But went with a couple of the guys, had to make sure we kept them safe, didn't want any injuries before spring ball or anything like that. But all went well, and we had a great time.
All right. Yes, we don't want any of those kind of injuries, Landon. Yeah. So please be gentle with the rest of the players. All right. We also had basketball this week. We both know, you and I, big basketball fans, big hoop fans. The Nittany Lions, they were at Ohio State this week. Boy, just a slow start, and they could just never get out of their own way to start the game. They were fighting an uphill battle the rest of the way, Landon.
Yeah, you know, I think when you come off of a big win and a big upset like that against Wisconsin, sometimes it's kind of hard to reel that back in. You got a lot of emotions. You know, you're feeling really good about the team. And then you come out and it's a 16-0, you know, run at the beginning of the game. And that's hard. You know, this basketball team is not built to play from behind. You know, Mahaffey for Ohio State got going really early, had 16 points, but majority of those came not only in the first quarter, but those first couple possessions. He was you know, real problem for us. And I think that's, you know, you see that on the boards too, but also just the size standpoint. You know, I think we need to be able to bring in, a big center that can really hang with these other guys, like big dude from Purdue. Ohio State, obviously Mahaffey, their center, was also pretty dominant on the boards there. Definitely a little bit better on the boards, 36-43 for Ohio State, had 43 on the board. But, got to keep improving there. And like I said, just can't start out with that 16-0 run. Just starting out slow is going to hurt this team every time.
And that offensive inconsistency, I think if you look at just the raw numbers from 3-point, I always say this is a team that needs a shooter. They need to get hot shooting. And if you look at the numbers, they're not so bad. But, you know, when you start down 16-0 and total, 19 points in the first half, but then you score 48 in the second half. Again, I realize Ohio State maintained a double-digit lead the whole time, but you saw the difference. You saw Puff Johnson start to get active in the second half and scoring points. I think the problem is there are just times when you don't know where the offense is going to come from on this team, and you get those droughts where you get behind 16-0, Landon.
Yeah, Jim, I think you're absolutely right there. And, you know, as we've talked about, it sounds dumb, but this team, they have to shoot well. You know, if you look, you know, Wisconsin, they were 53% from the field. Well, you know, yesterday, 37% from the field against Ohio State. And like I said, we're not going to be able to win games that way. And then, as you mentioned, you know, we got to have a scorer that we can count on, that's going to put up 20 plus a game. Like, as you mentioned, really nice Puff Johnson coming off the bench, you know, 3-for-4 from the 3-point line. We need him to continue to heat up. He's definitely a really dynamic player that can knock down the three and stretch the floor. But we just need more consistency from these guys on the offensive side.
You hit on the other thing too, with the rebounding. As you said, the differential wasn't as large as we've seen it in some of the other games, but I think it's also up front. It's not just one big guy. They probably need multiple big guys. They need a power forward. You have a center, Wuha, but do you have a power forward right next to him? Not just height, but you know, that girth, that size. So I don't know if you're ready to play some hoops there, Landon, or not, but we could use someone your size out there.
Yeah, Jim, we got to get a couple offensive line over there. I tell you, if you come out to the yards at Old State, you might see me in the gym playing some hoops there, but I'm probably pretty winded. But, you know, we have some good times in there. So, I don't know. We maybe a couple of football players challenge a couple of basketball players sometime this summer. Maybe we'll get that going.
Well, we could use some of that size or strength. Let's move on. Let's get to football. And I'm not sure how much you and I talked about this. The big news in the last couple of weeks has been the coaching changes at the top of the heap, which is Nick Saban from Alabama moves on. DeBeer moves from Washington to Alabama. I think it's the Arizona coach moves up to Washington. You get this whole carousel going on. And on the coaching front, first of all, when you have an Alabama that's established themselves at the top of the heap, like an Ohio State or a Georgia, when you see a coaching change like this, what's your first reaction? Is it, gee, now with Saban gone, they'll come back to the pack? Or is it, you know what, that's Alabama. They're going to stay Alabama.
Yeah, I think part of it is that you know, that team is going to remain a really good team in college football. But honestly, my first reaction is, I don't want to be that guy after Saban. You know, I saw a couple of people talk about this on Twitter, and it's like, you know, if you really want that job, you know, do you almost want to wait to be that second guy after Saban? So, you know, you're always going to get compared to Saban now. If you're a coach at Alabama, you know, he set that bar extremely high, one of the greatest coaches of all time. But, you know, it's hard to follow that up. For those fans and, you know, be able to give them what they were used to. I mean, they racked up some national championships, especially in this 2010s and early 2020s. Just a dominant team. And I, you know, if you don't continue that dominance, if Kalen DeBoer does not come in and kind of continue that track that Alabama was on and stay inside the top six, you know, I think you see the fans can start to turn against them just because they were so used to that greatness with Nick Saban. And then you look kind of on the flip side of that, and we've talked about some coaching changes in this NIL world, and that's kind of where the finger is being pointed to for why Saban retired is, you know, the whole landscape of college football is changing. And when you're an old coach, you know, set in your ways, you've already proved yourself, do you really want to get into this new world of NIL where you're paying for players, you're buying players? And we saw Deion Sanders actually come out on Twitter and make a comment. He said, you know, we just lost the greatest coach of all time because of NIL, which I think is kind of rich coming from Deion Sanders, considering that he only signed two guys in the early signing period. And I think, you know, about 20 in the transfer portal. I think that might've been him more trying to pick up some Alabama players, but you know, it's definitely interesting. The kind of the dilemma that NIL poses for some of these older coaches. Do I want to get involved in this complete overhaul that is going on in college football? Or I already, you know, I already got my accomplishments. I already won games. I already maybe won a national championship. Would I rather call it a quits and kind of just push all this aside and maybe go be an analyst somewhere and not have to deal with this just very messy, wild, wild west world that is college football, you know, right now?
I think you make a good point. If you're a coach, Nick Saban, the rules that had been, he was the absolute best. And it was interesting to me, a couple years ago, if you recall, he took some shots at Texas A&M, you know, trying to buy a national championship, which I thought was a little rich coming from Nick Saban. Under the standard rules or under the rules that were in existence, he had all the advantages because the money went to the facilities, to the coaches, all the analysts he could hire. So in that world, yes, Nick Saban, great coach. Nick Saban also had all those advantages. Now, all of a sudden, a team like Texas A&M might have an advantage over Alabama because they have the oil guys who are willing to spend more money, Landon.
Yeah, that's absolutely right, Jim. I mean, you know, some people can say that this new NIL world actually opens up to a more competitive environment for more teams to be able to compete. I mean, if you look at the 2010s, it was Clemson, it was Bama, then it was Georgia. And it really, you know, it was kind of a constant of, you know, these specific teams at the top, Ohio State. and it really wasn't changing. Well, you know, there was, you know, first real, I'd say last year, first real year of NIL where it was, everybody was doing, you know, the same thing. Everything was understood what was going on, even though it is a complete mess. You know, everybody is throwing a lot of money at these players. And, you know, you got some new teams in the college football playoffs, some new teams up at the top. You know, so there is the argument for it allows these teams that have never been competitive before to now get a little bit of money. And now they're able to snag these guys, even, you know, maybe even beat out Alabama for a guy, but also offer the guy, you know, a good chunk of money that goes to Alabama and take the player away from Alabama. And, you know, obviously that is, you know, technically against the rules still. There's not many rules, but it is illegal for you to poach a player with, you know, the promise of money, which is obviously what is going on. You know, we're not naive to that. But, you know, I like the fact that it presents an opportunity for more teams to have a little more star-studded players. And, you know, now you have maybe a second-string running back or a second-string wide receiver at Alabama or Georgia that is a really talented guy. But instead of waiting 2 years to get a shot at these really talented schools, well, maybe I go to a smaller school, a Syracuse for Kyle McCord, and really excel there and get to the NFL that way and make some great money while you're doing it. So, there, you know, there is that side of the NIL that presents those type of opportunities for these guys. So, like I said, I'm interested to see how this offseason shakes out with NIL and if the NCAA proposes any type of rule changes. But, you know, I think we're in for another wild offseason here, Jim.
I think we are. But I'm glad you pointed out, Landon, that I always was upset with people who said, oh, now because of NIL, there'll be the haves, the have-nots, there'll be a greater separation. How could there be a greater separation than there already was when you already knew Alabama, Ohio State, Georgia, they're going to be the playoff teams? It was year after year, just a handful of teams, whereas now at least NIL gives somebody else a fighting chance. And as you pointed out, this year we saw a couple different teams making it to the playoffs. So I think there actually is a little bit more in the way of parity.
Yeah, and I absolutely agree. And it's going to be interesting to see, you know, what teams can grab a really good quarterback. I don't think without NIL, I don't think you see that, you know, the guys, you know, Bo Nix going somewhere excelling. You don't see Michael Penix going to Washington and excelling. I just don't think those things happen. So like I said, it's a great opportunity for everybody involved. Hopefully the NCAA can hone it in a little bit and make it a little, just make it more well-rounded, but excited to see where NIL goes this offseason.
All right, fantastic. We've got lots more to go. We'll take a break and we'll be back with quarter number two and a lot more with Landon. Stay tuned. Having multiple sportsbook accounts is the simplest way to get the best available odds, and there's never been a better time to sign up. When you visit our page, signupexpert.com/KSN, you'll be connected to all the sportsbooks in your region. All of these sportsbooks have valuable sign-up offers for new users, and through our link, you'll automatically receive the top offer at each one. If you want to take advantage of these benefits, sign up for your next sportsbook at signupexpert.com/KSN or see the preferred sportsbook button on our app.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Landon, I'm Jim. We're talking college football. We're having an interesting conversation about NIL and the effect it has on the game. And I found it interesting. For a while, I've been talking about the NCAA. I forget what violation they were going after somebody. And I'm like, why are they doing that? What's really affecting the game is something you alluded to, which is the NIL, which is not supposed to be an incentive to attend a university coming out of high school or through the transfer portal. It's now become obvious that is what's going on. It would seem to me that there's enough low-hanging fruit that if the NCAA did want to go after someone, they could. It looks like now they are going after Florida, who a couple years ago there was like, it appeared they were in a bidding war with another Florida school. I don't know if it was Miami, I believe, for a specific quarterback. and it looked like there was going to be millions of dollars at stake. And Landon, they're going after Florida.
Yeah, yeah. It's, you know, it's interesting to see anybody get in trouble with NIL just because there's such little rules. But, you know, there are, you can't meet with anybody from a collective, you know, beforehand, before you've signed over, because, you know, that's pretty much, it looks like you are meeting with them and you're talking over how much money they can provide you, et cetera. You know, that is what is against the rules. And it's interesting. And then I think, you know, when the collectives move in-house, which, you know, I think we'll see soon, and then you can start to use, you know, money that the school has and funds and stuff like that. It's hard right now because how these schools have to get the money through the collectives with not being allowed to work in-house. Obviously, we talked about on the show just recently, the NCAA did rule that NIL collectives right now can move in-house. Previously, the original ruling was the collectives can have no direct, you know, relation in-house to the school that they're working with. It has to be completely separate. Already seen a couple teams start to move their collectives in-house. So I think it's a little bit easier to stay away from those violations once, you know, that's all, you know, say when it's Penn State, it's all Penn State personnel, all Penn State coaches, you know, faculty. And, you know, when you have these collectives out here, first off, you know, we've already seen it. Collectives are taking advantage of these young guys, 17, 18-year-old guys, getting them to come places. And we saw in cases with Miami, a couple other schools, you know, Texas A&M. I've seen guys, you know, voice to Twitter, hey, I haven't gotten paid anything. I'm leaving. I was promised, you know, $1 million. Well, the problem is with that is that none of these contracts are legal binding. They don't have to pay these kids. It's a promise. Hey, come to my school. You know, we'll give you whatever, $500,000. Well, they get there, they're a freshman, and next thing you know, they're not performing because, you know, they're a freshman, they're not ready yet. And it's, you know, hey, where's my money? And they're saying, hey, you were a five-star, you know, where's the performance? Where's the production that I was going to pay you for? So now there's that whole clash. And it's really a messed up, it's a messed up world right now. And that's why I think we talked about this, the NCAA needs to get control over this. And kind of just, you know, I don't know what those conversations are. I'm sure it's something that they're talking about every day in their board meetings and things of that nature. But, you know, it's hard right now. These bidding wars, and we talked about it, it's an advantage, you know, for these players. We just talked about going to different places, smaller schools, and I'm sure Syracuse was in contact with Kyle McCord, letting him know how much he was going to make. And same thing with Michael Penix the year before, and Bo Nix going to Oregon. You know, I'm sure they all knew how much they were making before they went there. But it is messy, and you have to be really careful. So I'm sure a lot of these collectives are now on high alert after this Florida issue, because, you know, that's the only collective Florida had. And now that collective goes under. I don't know how the Florida players are getting paid right now. That's going to be a big problem. And then, you know, do you see Florida players leaving? I think this is an opportunity to swoop in on some Florida players if you're a different school and say, hey, you're not getting paid right now. Come over here. We have a $10,000 stipend a month for you, or whatever it may be. You know, come over here. Our collective is working just fine. So, you know, a lot of interesting moving pieces right now in this NIL world, Jim.
Well, I don't have a problem that the NIL is going on and players have more freedom. In fact, you know, Kyle McCord, we often talk about him, and I think it's a good example where him able to move from Ohio State, where he's not happy with them, they're not happy with him. You know, it's a new opportunity, a fresh start for him at Syracuse. It's wonderful for Syracuse, and you know what? It's not a bad thing for Ohio State, because they obviously were not too upset that he moved on. So I think there's a lot of good things for it. I don't think it's going to be the destruction of college football as a lot of people look at it, but it becomes a case of what could the NCAA do, or anyone do, to put in some kind of rules for some structure. One of the things that I saw was a suggestion from Kirby Smart. He had it kind of was like you have two paths as a player. One was essentially, hey, you're entirely a free agent, could come and go as you wish, but I think also have the, hey, if the team said, look, you're not cutting it, you're gone. Or you could go down a path with a multi-year contract. essentially, where your scholarship isn't just 1 year at a time, but you are committing to multiple years with the school. What would you think of something like that?
I mean, I really like that idea. I am not, and I think most people are not a fan of this free agency every year. You know, I think it's creating a lot of fans to even maybe not want some relationships with these players as much as maybe a little bit earlier on in NIL, because they could be gone easily in a year. So I do kind of like that idea of locking you into a contract. And that's how it works in the NFL. You know, if you can't just break your contract, you're locked in on that contract unless the team doesn't, you know, want you anymore. And there's also the side of, you know, we talked about free agency every year, essentially. I would like to see the NCAA propose, go back. We need to get rid of this transfer portal every year. I mean, we see how ridiculous it is. We see how many guys are entering every offseason. It's leading to a lot of guys entering and realizing, not getting anything and realizing, hey, I don't have a home. I should have just stayed where I was at. I think there's a big chunk of guys, and I know some people that it's happened to, where they leave, they're looking for better options. And next thing they know, they'd rather be back at their school because they're either getting nothing or school's way below the school they were at as far as, you know, talent and money level. So I would like to see the NCAA propose something like maybe you can transfer one time and then you can grad transfer. I think we need to put a cap on the amount of times you can transfer. Seeing guys like Jaden Daniels, who went to USC, West Virginia, I think he went to four or five schools as a quarterback. He was out of Mater Dei, he was a five-star, and then transferred four or five times. I don't think, you know, as much as college football is changing every year, it's just that's not at all. I don't think that's the product we want to put out, where there's guys just dumping into the transfer portal every year. I think you are allowed to transfer once, you know, whatever it may be. You got there and you don't like the coaches, you're not in a great situation, and you want to go excel somewhere else. But letting these guys transfer two, three times before they're even graduating, it causes a lot of problems. And then on the academia side too, you know, it's really difficult to be, you know, an undergrad student and take, you know, three different campuses, get those credits transferred over. The logistics side is a pretty big nightmare. So you really would like to see that kind of all cleaned up. And I think that kind of falls upon the NCAA to take charge here. Look, they, as a former college football player, they were robbing us for a long time. I admit, I'm a fan of NIL. I like that we get to make money now. But I think they have let this go way too far, and they need to reel it back in a little bit. So I would love to see them come out with some restrictions, some rules this offseason that kind of give more of a guideline. And then everybody's kind of playing under, you know, playing the same game. It's a little more fair. So I would like to see the NCAA kind of take the reins here.
The problem the NCAA has is whenever they go to court, they lose. And, you know, I like what you're talking about. The problem with it is, hey, I may be a football player, but they're calling me a student. Any other student could transfer as many times as they want. Why can't I? And I think the NCAA has tried to put that into place where only one transfer without having to sit out a year. And I think they are in court on it, or going to be, because of that. And that's why I like that Kirby Smart idea where, okay, both sides making a commitment, you know. If you as a university are going to offer me, you know, the NIL money, the scholarship, but you're going to offer me 2 or 3 years of it, well, then I'm obligated. I owe you those, and you can't take it away from me. You can't take my scholarship away. It's both sides have to sign the contract and owe each other, you know, just like any other business transaction, Landon.
Yeah, no, it's a great idea. I really do like that idea from Kirby Smart, and I think that could be beneficial just to make sure you're keeping guys. Like I said, it's just guys are just leaving like it's really nothing. And it's, I think a lot of fans don't like to see that. I don't think they like a whole overhaul of a completely new team. And then, you know, if you're a Colorado fan, obviously, you know, you're very happy with everything that's went on, kind of being at the bottom of the Pac-12, and now you're getting all these eyeballs. But it's like, you know, if you're just bringing in 20 new guys every year out of the transfer portal to kind of perform, and then they're trying to just elevate themselves to the NFL, maybe just 1 or 2 years, you know, as a fan, I want to get to know, and especially a donor, I want to get to know these freshmen. I want them to come in when they're young, learn how to play under guys, you know, just develop them. I think that's what you're going to start to see a lot less of, is developing players, and more just putting teams together of talented players. And you know, if you've been in a locker room, you kind of understand that sometimes that does not work. You know, you saw Golden State Warriors, for example. They built that roster with Stephon, Draymond, and Clay. Well, they started adding too much with KD, and they added DeMarcus Cousins, all this stuff, and it was almost too much. And I think you'll start to kind of see that happen in college football with guys just trying to get as many, you know, great talents as possible. And it kind of dilutes the locker room a little bit, because it's now, you know, you have these great bonds with these guys. You've been there since freshman year, and you have all these great memories. Well, now you're playing with a bunch of guys you just met 6 months ago. It's just a different feel, Jim. And like I said, I guess maybe I'm a little old-fashioned, but I'm not a huge fan of the direction that we are going right now in college football. But, you know, I'm still very happy with the ability to everybody get paid. That is the number one thing, and these college football players deserve that. But like I said, interested to see what the NCAA is going to do and how these colleges and these collectives navigate this offseason.
Well, I think you make a good point about these, I'll call them all-star teams being put together, don't necessarily work, because football is the ultimate team sport that you need to grow together. I'm going to ask you about that, Landon, when we come back. Having multiple sportsbook accounts is the simplest way to get the best available odds, and there's never been a better time to sign up. When you visit our page, signupexpert.com/KSN, you'll be connected to all the sportsbooks in your region. All of these sportsbooks have valuable sign-up offers for new users, and through our link, you'll automatically receive the top offer at each one. If you want to take advantage of these benefits, sign up for your next sportsbook at signupexpert.com/KSN or see the preferred sportsbook button on our app.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It is quarter number three. He's Landon. I'm Jim. We're having a nice conversation about NIL and its effect on the game. And Landon, you know, I'm the old guy. You're an old soul. I know that. And we're talking about like NIL and the complaint that I hear a lot of, oh, someone could buy a championship. By the way, that kind of talk has been going on for years and years and years, you know, with professional sports, baseball, free agency, and football, basketball. And even in basketball, you talked about the NBA about a bit, you know, and it's those teams creating the super teams, you know, with three superstars. Doesn't always work, though. And I think I look at Texas A&M as Exhibit A, that it hasn't necessarily worked at Texas A&M, and it's not necessarily working in other places. And my next example is at Ole Miss, where we saw how well they played in the Peach Bowl. That's a good team. And they've got a stud running back who was there the last couple of years, and now they were going to the transfer portal, committing a lot of money to it, but all of a sudden, they're not necessarily committing all that money to the running back. What happens? He looks around and says, grass is greener somewhere else. He's now at Ohio State. Now, I'm not necessarily happy about that, Landon, but tell me about – Penn State has had so few guys leave in the portal. Why is it so different at Penn State?
Yeah, I think we talk about the locker room being a family environment. And, you know, like I talked about, those bonds you kind of build with your brothers, especially when you come in together as freshmen. You know, it's just a little different. And I think that's why when you see teams play for each other, and I've talked about players playing for coaches in the past and how important that is, and it really motivates guys. You know, you don't get that as much when it's guys going somewhere just because they were offered $1 million. And, you know, I'm interested to see Ole Miss, where they ended at, what, around 7 or 8 in the polls. You know, They add a ton of they add the number one defensive tackle that came into the portal, a bunch of other big name guys. Are they going to be a lot better? If they're not, is it worth spending all that money in the offseason? Is it worth losing your star running back that was about to go in his third year and then he's going to leave for the NFL? So there is that part of it. Did they not want to pay Judkins because, you know, he's going to the NFL next year? Say, hey, you know, maybe we put a little more time, effort, money into some younger backs. So there is that side of the aisle on that. But, you know, it's interesting how these locker room dynamics, and obviously I've only been in the Penn State locker room, and it is very family oriented. And I think that sometimes keeps guys from wanting to leave when they feel, hey, you know, these are my brothers here. I love to play for them. You know, hey, you get offered $250K over at this other Big Ten school or maybe somewhere out west. Do I really want to pick up, restart this? And I think that kind of goes to the university too. Everybody who's around Penn State understands how special this place is, the opportunities that you can get because of the alumni base that we have. So I think that type of thing kind of keeps people around a little bit more. So that's a credit to Coach Franklin for it truly is a family environment. I can speak to this. And when I had to step away from football, still have the coaches, the players, everybody checking on me. I mean, hanging out, all that type of stuff. It's forever family when you're at Penn State. And I think it's not like that other schools. And I think it's going to continue to dilute with NIL. It's just going to be just, you know, buying players, guys going places for money, as we've talked about. We saw that with Texas A&M, and the team implodes. And it's, you know, it's hard to rally guys. You talk about you come in a locker room after a loss and, you know, everybody's trying to keep each other's heads up. You know, your family say, hey, let's go. Let's all go hang out. We're all, you know, have a beer, whatever. Watch a game. Let's talk about it. We're going to get this. We're going to right this ship. Well, when everybody's there for money, things start to go wrong. You don't really get that in a locker room. You get everybody saying, you know, forget this, man. This is trash. You know, I'm sure there was a lot of that in the locker room in Miami at Texas A&M, those type of places when they bought a bunch of players. And those guys really weren't there to play for each other. They were just there to make a couple extra bucks. You don't get that loyalty. You don't get that love from the players to one another, the loves from the players to the coaches and back. So I think that's kind of what's being underestimated a lot. And that's what's special about college football is that bond you're able to build. Because in the NFL, your locker mate next to you can be gone the next day. I mean, you have no clue. So, you know, you're not as invested. You understand it is what it is. That's the business. But that isn't what college football has been. So this the whole new NIL world kind of introduces a whole new dynamic of just it being more of a business. And it kind of takes that brotherhood, that love, takes some of it out of it. And that's what makes college football what it is, in my opinion, Jim, especially, you know, being in a locker room. There's no bond like it. And, traveling from school to school, transferring every year, you just don't get that.
I'm going to switch things. That's a very positive statement about Penn State football, the program, that guys want to stay here. But there's a lot of unintended consequences to everything going on with the portal, NIL, and it's turned into player management, kind of the things that a GM has to worry about in the NFL, and that's the roster size, or at least the scholarship size. Teams have to be to 85 scholarships come August or the start of the season later in the year. Where you are right now doesn't really matter. And when this comes up, typically teams might be at 88 or 90, and the conversation is always, that will take care of itself. The problem, though, is this year, no Penn State players seem to want to enter the portal. And it seemed like there were several players who had the option, especially with that extra COVID year, to move on or not. And maybe it's, okay, they're not going to be a top draft pick for the NFL, so maybe having some NIL money, staying at good old Penn State is worth it. Next thing you know, I've seen numbers like at 98, 99 scholarships Penn State is at. So it's not about trimming it down three or four guys. You're talking about 13 or 14. And I know this is kind of a tough question, but how does that work? There has to be some kind of conversation between the coaches and players It may not happen till after the spring, but it's got to happen, doesn't it, Landon?
Yeah, Jim. Well, you have that expectation as a coach nowadays. Hey, I'm going to, you know, you look at the roster and you understand, hey, I'm going to lose 5, 7, whatever it may be, other schools, 10 players to the portal. And, you know, I think when you go into the offseason, you have that expectation. And then, you know, the fans, they, you know, they talk about, hey, we need to go get this guy at this position from the portal. We need to pick up tackle, wide receiver, cornerback, whatever it may be. Well, you know, that's all good and great when you go and get those guys. But now, like I talked about, no one wants to leave Penn State. It's a great place. Come back another year and enjoy being a college kid again. You know, can't blame them for that. But that kind of screws up the plans. When those guys that you think is going to leave end up wanting to stay, and let's say, you know, they're a valuable asset and you don't want to turn them away. You know, they're great for the program. You don't want to say, hey, now, you know, we can't accept you. You know, for example, Devon Elise, Hakeem Beamon, you're not going to tell them you can't come back for a sixth year. I mean, these are Penn State guys who have, you know, put their heart and soul into this program. You want them back. But then it does create that dilemma of, we were kind of expecting them to leave. We weren't ready for this sixth-year COVID eligibility thing to happen. So I think that's happening around a lot of different places, is the COVID year is really messing things up, because now you have essentially a whole extra class of guys. Now, you know, a lot of guys aren't staying for that sixth year, but that whole class that no matter what 5 years ago is out, 100%, they're out. Maybe one guy can play a sixth year because of an injury or something. He gets a waiver. But now you have a group of 4 or 5 sixth-year guys that you expected 100% to be out, but they're coming back. It really does hurt the numbers. So I think, you know, when you have those end of the year conversations with your players and you expect some of them to leave and then they don't, and you're bringing in a bunch of guys from the portal, it can get really difficult. Now, on the flip side of that, I have a couple friends going to other schools that I've heard, you know, this is happening, where guys have the ability now to obviously get paid through NIL, and walk-ons can get paid too through NIL. There is the kind of idea that you can have them as a technical walk-on, but pay them a stipend through NIL to basically take care of that year's tuition and, you know, room and board, whatever, you know, all those numbers added up, and then they give them that in an NIL check. So there is a way to kind of have them on scholarship, but to work around that 85 number. But I mean, that's hard when you have, as a collective, you have budgeted 85 guys. You have 85 guys on the scholarship, and that's where your money's being directed. But now, you know, let's say you have even, let's say you keep 93 and you're paying 8 of those guys. You know, 8 of those guys aren't technically on scholarship, but you're paying them the NIL money for their scholarship and then maybe some on top of that. It's really difficult for these NIL collectives to plan for that because they didn't have that in their budget, Jim. So, you know, I think this offseason is going to be by far, far and away, the craziest offseason in college football. You know, I'm sure there's going to be some teams saying that, you know, we deserve, there needs to be more scholarships for this year and next until these COVID guys are done. You know, the NCAA allowed them to have that 6 year. So it's interesting. I, as a coach, I don't think it would happen, but I would petition, hey, you allow them to have another year. You need to give us, you know, 2 or 3 extra, you know, spots on our, you know, eligible to pay guys scholarships. So that, you know, there is that talk. And I don't know if you saw, Jim, but it took over social media this week. There's a tight end down in Miami that's coming back for his 9th year of college in the same recruiting class as Jalen Hurts, Nick Bosa, guys that are, you know, stars in the NFL for years already. And he's still enjoying college. I don't know about that one, Jim. I mean, that one's interesting over there. But it's, you know, I'm sure they've had a couple conversations with him about coming back, but he keeps coming back. But
how did he get to 9 years, though? I saw the headline. I didn't read the details.
Yeah, well, he got to Oregon, and I think his first, like, it was 4 years in a row from 2016 to 2019 were all season-ending injuries. So he had a bunch of waivers, and then the COVID year, and then I don't even know how that even adds up to 9 years. And I think everybody listening can agree. You enjoy college; it's a fun time. But I don't know if I had enjoyed college for 9 years, Jim.
Well, I guess it's different, you know, in this day and age. If you're paid, maybe it's just, hey, this is a pretty good gig going on here. I'm paid well enough. I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying campus life and getting paid. That's not such a bad thing, Landon. And, I, you know, when I went to school, I was one of the few. I got through Penn State in 4 years. But if you had said, we'll pay you, Jim, for a fifth year or a sixth year, all of a sudden it doesn't look so bad. Anyway, all right, that's it for this segment. We still have more to go. Please stay with us. Having multiple sportsbook accounts is the simplest way to get the best available odds, and there's never been a better time to sign up. When you visit our page, signupexpert.com/KSN, you'll be connected to all the sportsbooks in your region. All of these sportsbooks have valuable sign-up offers for new users, and through our link, you'll automatically receive the top offer at each one. If you want to take advantage of these benefits, sign up for your next sportsbook at signupexpert.com/KSN or see the preferred sportsbook button on our app.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number four. He's Landon. I'm Jim. Landon, let's shift gears a little bit. We're right in the middle of the NFL playoffs, so let's talk about some actual football going on. Although my team, the Eagles, your team, the Steelers, out as of last week, and question marks on both coaches, right?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. We talked a little about Sirianni and the Eagles last week. But, you know, as a diehard Steelers fan, you know, I was born in 02, so I kind of missed some of those early glory days with Ben. For the most part, the 2010s, they were rough, man. Tomlin didn't get too many wins, this whole past, 12 years since we made it to that Super Bowl against the Packers in 2010. It's really been kind of downhill. And then there was a lot of talks about Mike Tomlin maybe stepping away from football, stepping away from Steelers. Did announce that he was going to come back for another season. It's interesting. If you're a Steelers fan, this quarterback carousel we've had. We had three starting quarterbacks this year, and we were spoiled with Ben Roethlisberger for so long that, we're not used to this life. We're back to after, it took us 15 quarterbacks between Terry Bradshaw and Ben Roethlisberger. Are we going to have to endure that again? That's what I'm afraid of. My whole life, all I knew was Big Ben. So I'm a little scared with that. And then you got, Deontay Johnson coming out and saying he prefers Mason Rudolph. But then you got Mike Tomlin coming out and saying Kenny Pickett is going to be QB1. There will be competition. But Mason Rudolph, in a contract year, could get signed to a different team, had a pretty good showcase at the end of the year there. So a lot of moving pieces for this Steelers roster. I'm excited to see what shakes out. Got a couple older guys. Cam Hayward has a decision if he wants to come back. But it's a decent roster. It hurts. We can't get it done in the playoffs. But moving on to some of these playoff teams, though, recording this Sunday morning, just yesterday, we had the Ravens play the Texans, kind of handled them. I mean, this Ravens team, really impressive. We know when, they're starting to kind of look like they did on that 2019 team where they were just steamrolling guys. Lamar is on fire. He's hot. He's doing his thing. But kind of looking at both teams that lost yesterday, the Packers and the Texans, although they lost in the divisional round, two young quarterbacks in Jordan Love and CJ Stroud that are the future of this NFL, Jim. I mean, lighting it up. And it sucks if you're a fan of one of those teams, but you got a really bright future with those teams, man.
First of all, I do want to talk about the quarterbacks, but I just want to tell you how much you hurt me, Landon, when you start by saying, I wasn't around for the early glory years, and I'm sure you're going to say Terry Bradshaw. No, you're talking about Ben Roethlisberger. I still think he's a pup. He's a kid. And, so that bothers me. Now, with that said, let's shift. I like that you brought up the quarterbacks, both with your Steelers and the young Jordan Love, CJ Stroud. Then if it's a quarterback league. It's a quarterback league. And if you don't have them, you and I, we were talking off the air about seeing the Bills play the Chiefs. And you've got those two quarterbacks. That's what it takes. And you're one of two camps. You either got your quarterback or you're looking for your quarterback, isn't it?
It is, Jim. And it's one of those things now. And I'll take it back to the Steelers real quick. do you even want to go into next year with just Kenny Pickett and Mason Rudolph? Because if you look around even just the AFC, you're in a division with Deshaun Watson, Lamar Jackson, and Joe Burrow, not to mention you got Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, all these other guys. You need an elite quarterback to be able to win games now. I mean, there's no doubt about it. You know, you look around, Baker Mayfield playing really well. I'm excited to see him play today against the Lions. But it's one of those things, you look around, if you don't have an elite quarterback, it's almost, you know, that's number one priority. There's too many elite quarterbacks around this league now, and I don't really know if it really used to be like this, where it seems like most teams have a really good quarterback. If you don't have it, you're at a huge disadvantage there. So it's, you know, it's definitely really interesting. But like I said, if you're a young team, I mean, I think the Texans are one of the brightest futures in all of NFL with that young roster. They had an amazing rookie class and really good year, by the way, for our guy, Juice Scruggs. If you follow Penn State football, Juice Scruggs had, you know, a long career here at Penn State, had gotten a bad car accident, didn't even know if he was going to be able to play football again, came back, did a fifth year. And he is balling out, did not allow a single sack for the Texans this season at left guard. So I got to give a shout out to, he's my OG when I got here. He's a really great guy. So shout out to Juice Scruggs, really excelling for the Texans. But Jim, looking ahead tonight, Sunday night, we got the Bills and the Chiefs. That is a classic. Every single time they have met up in the divisional round, in the AFC Championship, whatever it may be, it is a barn burner. It's exciting to watch Josh Allen and Mahomes slinging it around. So I'm really excited to see those guys go at it tonight, man.
The key to, we talk about college football obviously more often and getting the star quarterback. And a franchise in the NFL, you go for years, and the Patriots are an example. They are going to be at the top of the, near the top of the draft. They could probably get a quarterback. Now, good chance drafting third, they'll get the third quarterback. But you've got to get it right. So, you know, is it Caleb Williams or is it Derek May? Which one is the guy? And you can look at the history of the NFL. Those decisions change franchises.
No, you're absolutely right, Jim. And I saw something that was Caleb Williams. I've talked about, I played him all high school. I still got to put it out there for myself. Never lost to him. Played him three times. Olu Fashanu too. That's one of my best friends. Never lost him in high school, but I got to put that out there. But, you know, no, you look at that and it's interesting where, you know, if you miss, it's almost, do you go again? I mean, going back to the Steelers again, you missed, I consider Kenny Pickett, you know, you do want to give these quarterbacks some time to develop. And I think something that hurts these quarterbacks is a guy like CJ Stroud. The fact that he came in and excelled so well so early, it's almost like that's the expectation. Now, and we've talked about this on the podcast before. When you're a top five pick, you don't get that time that a fourth round pick gets to develop. You don't get that leeway. Hey, give him a year or two. It's those expectations are now. You need to come in and deliver and perform. And I think that's really hard. And I actually saw something on social media. It was a former GM in the NFL. I forget what team. And he was going down the list saying, would he take Caleb Williams or this quarterback? And they went through all the first round draft picks, Kyler Murray, Andrew Luck. And they even went back to Peyton Manning. And he said he would take Caleb Williams over Peyton Manning in the draft. I don't know if that's a bit ridiculous. This is a former NFL GM we're talking about here. But I don't know. I'm interested to see. Personally, I would take Caleb with the number one draft pick. I've seen him my whole career, played against him, one of the most talented football players I've ever seen step onto the football field. Some people think he's a bit overrated. I am not in that party, Jim. I don't know how you feel about that. I'd like to hear your take.
You know, I think he's got so much skill. You have to invest that number one on him because he's got that ceiling. What I find fascinating by it all, Landon, is how do you judge these college quarterbacks? And it's so difficult. You could go down a level and say for college teams ranking the high school quarterbacks, and you could just look at Penn State. How did people think of Drew Aller as an underclassman compared to the end of his high school career? Same thing with Ethan Grunkmeyer. What was he thought of when Penn State offered him versus, you know, coming out of high school? Mm-hmm. So you could be wrong. You know, the greatest of all time, Tom Brady. Nobody thought to pick him until, what, the fifth round?
Yeah.
So, you know, the judgment is so difficult. It's why when I see somebody, sometimes I think it's the luck of the draw. You know, a couple of years ago with the draft with Josh Allen, I think that was Baker Mayfield that same year also. There were like four guys. I think, you know, Baker Mayfield, oh, we thought he was a bust. Now it doesn't look so bad. Josh Allen was probably the third or fourth of the four. Look how he's now performing. So you start to figure. I admire the Kansas City Chiefs traded up to get Patrick Mahomes. They knew something everybody else did not.
Yeah, no, Jim, you're absolutely right. And you're talking about, and even talking about that draft class you were speaking of, I actually saw a video recently of that draft, and it was Bills fans, and they were reacting to the Josh Allen pick, and they looked like they just lost a football game when they heard it was Josh Allen. And, you know, funny enough, who they wanted was Josh Rosen, who I don't think he's in the league anymore. That was, like, considered the best quarterback, I think, outside of Baker that year. So, you know, it's interesting when you look back, and it's, oh, who wanted Josh Rosen? Well, actually, most people did. And now Josh Allen, you know, top five quarterback in the league. It is really hard to judge these quarterbacks. You don't know. Being a quarterback in the NFL is one of the hardest jobs in the world. And you don't know not only how someone's talent is going to translate, but mentally, can they handle that? Because you have to have a certain type of swagger, a certain type of confidence. You need to have that moxie in you to be a star quarterback in the NFL. I mean, you look around these guys, Mahomes, Josh Allen, Lamar, they just carry themselves a little bit differently. And you could just tell, you know, they're a star quarterback. And like I said, I mean, it's one of those things. If you miss on a quarterback, let's say you draft him top five, you know, do you go back and do it again? We saw that with the Cardinals where they were the ones that actually took Rosen, saw they didn't have much in him. And they went back the next year and got Kyler Murray, who is very talented, but didn't really turn out exactly how they wanted him to and how we kind of thought after his first couple years. But, you know, it's a real interesting dilemma there for GMs now is, you know, do you just keep going at it, or, you know, you want to add that a scary pass rusher, who you almost know is going to turn out to be something good, because they don't have that, you know, they don't have that pressure on them as a quarterback to come in and lead a team as a rookie. And I think you have to give hats off to C.J. Stroud for what he did this year, leading and D'Amico Ryan. I mean, rookie head coach, rookie quarterback. I don't think that's ever been done where they've made it to the divisional round. Just a really talented group and a scary team going forward. I know me, you're safe over there in the NFC, Jim. I'm not looking forward to playing some of these young dudes coming. I mean, we didn't even talk about Justin Herbert, Trevor Lawrence. Really talented quarterbacks in this league. And I'm excited for Baker Mayfield. I'm always rooting for the Cinderella story, the good story. He was on the Panthers practice squad rushing offensive linemen not too long ago. And now he's here he is in the divisional round, already handled your Eagles. I'm sorry about it, Jim. It's sad to say, but I'm rooting for Baker here in against the Lions here. I'm ready to see these matchups tonight. And then obviously Josh Allen and Mahomes should be a great day for football, Jim.
And you know what? You asked, do you go back to the well? Yes, you do. Mm. Get the quarterback. That's so important. And I'll give Eagles credit when they committed a second-round pick on Jalen Hurts, when a lot of people said, hey, you don't need a quarterback. Anyway, Landon, we are out of time. That is it. Thank you all for listening. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Having multiple sportsbook accounts is the simplest way to get the best available odds, and there's never been a better time to sign up. When you visit our page, signupexpert.com/KSN, you'll be connected to all the sportsbooks in your region. All of these sportsbooks have valuable sign-up offers for new users, and through our link, you'll automatically receive the top offer at each one. If you want to take advantage of these benefits, sign up for your next sportsbook at signupexpert.com/KSN or see the preferred sportsbook button on our app.